Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. I am going to be your next presenter. And all right, here's the echo. Okay, thanks so much, guys, and welcome. My name is Danka Metcalf. Today, I will be sharing with you how to day trade the futures market at the New York Trading Session Open. This is something that I specialize in. I like to trade the first 2 hours in the morning, day trade the first 2 hours in the morning. The rest of the day, I kind of manage, babysit my swing trades. That's all I do. And I'm also going to show you how some day trades can transform into very profitable swing trades. And you don't have to use a lot of size to actually make a good living when you're trading futures. Here's a quick disclaimer. Basically, all the information that we're providing here is for educational purpose only. It should not be construed as investment advice regarding the purchase, sale, or security of securities, options, futures, forex, or any instrument of any kind. And I'm pretty sure you know by now that trading involves a lot of risk and you can lose money. So make sure that before deciding to trade, you should carefully consider your objectives, level of experience, and risk appetite. All right. So for those of you that don't know me, my name is Anka Metcalf. I'm the CEO founder of TradeOutLoud.com. I have been a professional independent trader for the last 16 years, and I specialize in day trading futures and swing trading futures and equities. Prior to becoming a professional independent trader, I come with 10 plus years in investment banking. I'm also the founder and CEO of TradeOutLoud.com, which is a trading education firm that is specialized in educating individuals how to day trade and swing trade the futures and the equities market. Over the years, I've designed an institutional proprietary trading system. It is an institutional grade trading system. I did not reinvent the wheel. I have just had to readapt and adapt an institutional model for my own trading accounts, for my actual size, right? For my trading account size. The system is based on pure price support resistance, but there's so much more than meets the eye, because what I'm looking at is not only supply and demand. There are actually 8 layers of support resistance. I will show you some charts today so you get an idea of what I watch for my precise entries, stops, targets, etc. I also use specific trigger times, and these trigger times are a work of labor after so many years of trading. And I have noticed that there are certain times throughout the market where you could have follow through, and there are times within the market where you're not likely to receive follow through. And that is because at times there may be less volume in the market than would be necessary to help the market propel higher or lower. So trading futures is a little bit different than trading stocks. I'm also focused on precise price zones. There are 4 precise price zones that I focus on. These are areas where indices can take off, or they can reach target, or they can achieve their stop or stop loss. I also look at chart synchronicity and divergency. For me to take a trade, I would need to see everything moving in sync. So I need to have all the indices move in the same direction. If I'm seeing divergency coming in one of the indices, that may create a lot of gyrations into the rest of the indices. So I have to see a nice smooth price action. So just wanted to give you a quick heads up of what I'm saying here about this divergency, is that you could see that today Russell had relative strength and is propelling higher, just made a new high in about at a 1:30 p.m. Eastern. We're having relative strength into NASDAQ, but take a look at the gyrations that happen here into the Dow. So Dow came in right into the breakout area. This is the area where we got long today, and came back to retest the support level before going higher and achieving these highs. So these levels are calculated way before the market opened. So when the market opens, we already have a game plan and know exactly what actions to take. So it's kind of like eliminating a bit of the emotion from trading. I'm not saying that you're going to be able to eliminate all the emotions from trading, because we're trading the most precious commodity in the world, which is money. All right. I also follow a strict set of trading rules and a 10-point scoring system that enables myself and my traders to identify trading with these, and also to have the patience to wait for the trades to set up. You want to get a hold of us? If you want to find out what we offer, you can visit our website, tradeoutloud.com, or you could visit our handle on any of these social media sites. In today's presentation, I'm going to be talking to you about why I trade futures. And what I really trade exactly and what is my go-to index. Also, my trading rules, how to prepare before the newer trading session open, how to select what to trade at the open, and also what time frame I focus on when trading the open, and also what indicators I use. But before that, I have a little surprise for you, because today we're all about Black Friday and Cyber Monday. You know what? Let's get into that holiday spirit already. And we have, guys, today is like exactly a month to Christmas. Today is November 25th. We have 4 weeks until Christmas, 5 weeks into the year end. So let's get into that holiday spirit with some seasonal facts about the market that are going to help you fine tune your trading and find your directional bias with these, knowing that there are some elements that are going to help with your trading decision. So basically the last month, and usually the last five weeks of the trading year, have the highest activity of the year of the market. So volume is very important, because once you get the influx from the volume, you're going to see the market participation. You're going to expect the follow through. So I'm always looking for an increase in the market volume. At the end of the year, you have that set different vibe, right? The peace quickens, expectations rise, the joy and love the season steeps in. The markets express their own joy at this time of year as an optimism, right? And this optimism seems to be settling in the market. You can see the pressure that the market is having right now. So these observations are backed up by facts that the S&P 500 index has provided positive returns in December in 50 of the last 63 years for a win rate of little over 76%. Okay, so that's real fact. It's not that I'm saying it. It's a well-known fact. So we're going to power up. We have Black Friday this Friday, and followed by next Monday, a week from today, we have Cyber Monday. Did you guys know that 40% of the sales occurred during these two holidays? Well, let me tell you something. Black Friday has been the greatest shopping day for the last 10 years. Why? Better deals, doorbusters. They're trying to beat all the online prices, right? There's a lot of competition online. So retailers are really trying to match up a lot of the things that are happening online. They have free deliveries. They also, you can buy online and pick up on the store, layaways, et cetera. So they're trying to create that optimism in the market, so to get people through the door. Now, in 2017, so not last year, but the year before that, 2017, Cyber Monday has been the biggest online shopping day to date. So that was a growth of 27% compared to 2016. Guys, these are facts. These are real known facts. And guess what? Amazon is saying that this year is going to have the biggest sale ever. And it's going to top everything that all the prior numbers that it had up to this day. So why? Better deals, shopping convenience, you're avoiding the crowds, plus sales from the mobile devices, right? You could go on your app, do your shopping, and it's so much convenient, right? You're beating the crowds and everything else. So the holiday shopping season really officially kicks off, guess what? This Friday, so 4 days from today. So these two holidays give the big boost to the market. Now, remember, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, right? Black Friday, when you're thinking Black Friday, you're thinking brick and mortar stores, right? You're thinking Best Buy, you're thinking Home Depot, you're thinking Lowe's. And guess what, guys? I know that Home Depot has had a tough time and it has been down for the last 4 days, but you know what? Guess what? It's really trading on some kind of sport. And if you're a swing trader, you're looking for that buy it on discount opportunity to try to drag it higher. Maybe this Friday is going to be the time when we're going to try to leg into that Home Depot. So think brick and mortar stores, Best Buy, Lowe's, Home Depot, Restoration Warehouse, Target, Walmart, Costco, Nordstrom's, TJ Maxx, etc. So all these brick and mortar stores, remember, this is going to be their big, big day. Remember, 40% of the sales are going to be done on one day, in one day. And then there's Cyber Monday. On Cyber Monday, a lot of deals are going to happen online. Amazon is the giant. Google as well. eBay, Apple, Overstock, and so many other online sellers. But what is an online sale without transporters, right? So who's going to get your packages home? Well, FedEx, UPS, EXPD, CHRW, JBHT. So when you go back and when you think, okay, so what am I going to be trading on this day? Remember, these stocks are going to be on focus. So why do we need to focus on these stocks? Because, hey, I thought this is a futures presentation. Well, guess what, guys? Amazon is a very big component of NASDAQ. Guess what happened today? Amazon from 1750s trading right now, 1772. Why do you think we had relative strength going into NASDAQ component? Well, because we had the relative strength into Amazon blasting higher. We had Google strong rotating on the daily. We had Apple very strong rotating on the daily. Never mind Nvidia with a huge gap up, and it's trading right now over very close to 221. Wow, I have a swing in that. So again, these are all components that we need to pay attention to. Of course, when you're thinking Home Depot, when you're thinking Walmart, you're thinking of the Dow, right? So there are a lot of factors that contribute to the movement of our indices. So not necessarily if you're not a stock trader, don't worry. You could probably get a really good trade in one of these indices. And guess what? The other thing that is going to pretty much be in focus on Friday is the relatively low volume in the market. Now, remember, the market is not going to be open the whole entire day. The market is going to be open only until 12 or 1 o'clock, I think. The market volume is going to be low. Low volume means less algos that are going to kick in, right? Because you can't have algos in the market without having a heavy volume, without having any kind of heavy volume in the market. So you got to have some really strong volume to start kicking up the firing those algos, right? So basically, what I'm trying to say is that lower volume in the market before the holidays, day like today, and after the holiday, 2 to 3 days after the holidays, and this is typical not only for Thanksgiving, but this is typical for Christmas, this is typical for New Year's, this is also typical for Easter, for 4th of July, or whatever holiday we have. So a few days before and a few days after, volume is lower. That promotes trend trading. So you're going to see more and more traders that are going to take manual trading versus algorithmic trading. All right, so after Thanksgiving, the scene is pretty much set. And what we're going to be focusing on next is Santa rally. Well, how many of you guys in here believe in Santa Claus rally? Well, I do. Even last year when we had a really tough year and when we had the biggest market volatility that came in and into October, November, and December. Actually, November and December were really, really violent bumps in the market. Nobody gave up on Santa Claus rally. So what is Santa Claus rally? For those of you that are new to the market and have never heard about this concept, it's basically a surge in the price of stocks or even indices, right? Because indices are stocks are a component of our indices. And that surge in the price in stocks or indices that often occur in the week between Christmas and New Year's Day, sometimes ahead of Christmas, sometimes a few days ahead of Christmas. Why? Because the volume is going to be a little low and they're going to be shifting the price a little bit higher. Okay. So why the rally? Well, first off, tax considerations. And second of all, traders, investors are going to be starting to reinvest their Christmas bonuses. And many consider the Santa Claus rally to be a result of traders buying stocks in anticipation of the rise in stock prices during the month of January, also known as January effect. But hey, we're going to talk about that. But not before we take a quick look and see what's happening here, right? Remember last year, as dramatic as it was to the downside? This is the week of December 24th, right? December 24th. 24. December 25th, the market was closed. The market opened on December 26th. Boom, we had that huge influx into the market. This is the S&P 500 futures, guys. Take a look at the low, take a look at the high right here. It almost had a jump of about 200 points. It was a phenomenal push to the upside. Let's continue. This is not all, but wait, there's more. Well, there's window dressing. So what is window dressing? Well, it is a strategy used by mutual funds and portfolio managers to improve the appearance of your portfolio, of the portfolio or fund performance before presenting it to clients, to their clients. So the window dressing, to window dress basically, the fund manager will sell the stocks with large losses. They're going to be ditching stocks like, I don't know. I can't think of a stock that has really declined, but you may think of something. And they're going to be ditching those. They don't want to hold on to those stocks into their portfolio. And they're going to be purchasing high flying stocks near the end of the quarter. That's why you're experiencing, ta-da, this. This is an effect of window dressing. Now, these securities are often reported as as part of the fund's holding. So window dressing involves buying the best performers of the quarter, the last week of the quarter before fund managers potentially hop in and try to look smart dressing up their portfolio. So you should know that this window dressing happens four times a year. It happens in March, in June, in September, and December. But by far, December is the most powerful time to see it in full effect. Obviously, the last quarter is the strongest quarter and the most traded quarter, okay? So last but not least, the January effect. So all these elements that I'm presenting here, the cornucopia trading, which is now with the Black Friday and Cyber Monday, the Santa Claus rally, knowing that we're heading into the Santa Claus rally, knowing that we're heading into the year end, we're having the window dressing at the end of next month, plus the January effect. These are all elements that contribute to a higher market, directional bias long, all right? So here's the January effect. So while the January effect, you know, may sound like a winter weather advisory term, it's actually a well-documented stock market phenomenon. It's a really known stock market phenomenon used by a lot of hedge funds. So the January effect is simply a run on stocks often following, guess what? A poor December. So stocks that have been dumped, right? They're going to be picked up. So investors rush to grab these stocks prior to the end of the year for a lower price, at a discount price. Who doesn't like a discount price? So betting that the price will go up in January and then dump the stock for a profit, right? So January effect is often led, guess who, by small stocks. And that's one of the reasons why I grab some IWM, I grab some RTY, and I'm holding it for a longer period of time. I'm holding it for a longer term swing. So according to Barron's, and this is statistic, guys, according to Barron's, since 1926, small cap stocks have beaten large caps 76% of the time in January. Okay. And now we're witnessing a huge breakout in Russell, RUTL, IWM, and Russell Futures. So the best explanation offered for the January effect is definitely going to be the tax-related one. And that is investors with portfolios that are weighted in small stock sell-off securities on block to claim venture losses and straight away reinvest, guess when, after New Year's, in January. But why do you think they do that? Well, they're about four reasons. Predictable seasonal fluctuation is one of them. So since the January effect typically spans December and January, traders can account for certain price variations and may be able to take advantage of the effect to determine entry and exit prices. I mean, it's a no-brainer, right? They're looking at the levels, and of course, they tend to coil into the expansion, right? So before they start expanding, they tend to coil very tightly. And this is something that happened last year as well. The other thing, and the second thing, is make the most of their losses. Guess why? Well, by taking the losses before the year end, they can actually declare a loss on their tax returns. The third thing would be money to reinvest. So by selling off the shares, you may not be generating a profit and may even be experiencing obviously the loss, right? Because you took a hit. However, on the positive side, you now have the money, you now have the cash to do what? To reinvest in hopefully more successful trades. You're going to go back to the drawing board. You're going to start scanning. You're going to start finding new opportunities, possibly at discount prices. Last but not least, take advantage of the year-end bonuses, right? So a lot of people receive their year-end bonuses as a perk of their job. So this means that there's going to be more cash on the market and possibly new reinvesting in stocks going into the new year, okay? So literally, it is the best time to be in the market. Even though last year was extremely scary, at the end of the year presented itself with lots and tons of profitability. Now, a lot of you guys in here may know me as being a very active futures trader, and not a lot of you know that I'm a very active swing trader. Well, I am. These are some of our trades from the month of November. If you take a look at these names, where we entered, we're still holding all of these names. Nvidia, huge right now. So Nvidia only today is up, oh my goodness, I'm looking at it, it's getting closer to that 221. It's trading at 220.48. We got it at 213 last week. Today we added one more stock. We added Intel, all right? So here's Nvidia today. Wow, what a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful breakout from this cluster for higher. All right, so let's get back to the futures. Why do you think I'm so focused on stocks? And being a stock trader really has helped me tremendously into the futures market. I find that traders that come from the stock market make really great futures traders because they understand the mechanics of the market way better than futures traders do. Futures traders have the tendency to have pretty much channel vision on and see only one index or another. Well, in reality, you have to start trading what's moving that day, depending on what the stock market is dictating. But anyways, let's talk a little bit about account size. So the stock market, in order to open an account, you're going to need about $25,000, right? So guess what? You lose a penny, your day trading status is out the door. So you need to at least $30,000 to have in your account. And I'm going to share with you how much money you can make if you have $30,000 in your account, okay? The leverage would be for the stock market 2-to-1 or 4-to-1, where in comparison, the futures market, you can open an account with as little as $5,000. And guess what? The best thing now is that you can open micros accounts. So if you want to dab into the futures market, this is the perfect time for you to start initiating some trades, because the reality is that you can open an account and I think it's TradeStation. You can open an account with $500. So yeah, you can open an account with $500 and start trading micros. And I'm going to share with you, and you're going to say, hey, I'm not going to waste my money or I'm not going to waste my time with micros. I'm going to share with you a result from a trade that I took for example purpose, in micros. The leverage is greater. You have 10-to-1 leverage. Plus, the advantage of trading the futures market is that, hey, if you have a full-time job, you could still trade the market. Don't day trade it, but swing trade it. So just shift your time frame. All you have to do, instead of focus on that very small time frames, you're going to be looking at larger time frames. And guess what? You're going to have better odds swing trading than day trading, because you're stepping aside from algorithmic trading. Algorithms love to trade futures indices. In fact, the majority of algos are set for the M&E S&P, for NASDAQ, and then for Dow and Russell. And then they also love to play the Qs and the SPYs. These are rich algo trades, right? But if you're especially time frames, the 1 minute, the 2 minute, even the tick charts, all the way up to a 15 minute, as you're getting into the 15 minute time frame, the odds of getting stopped out from algos diminishes, okay? So you have more chances of staying in the trade longer for bigger profits. And remember, in day trading, you have tighter stops, but you also have tighter targets. The advantage of swing trading is that you have wider stops and bigger profit, all right? So the other advantage is that a lot of times things are happening outside of the New York trading session hour, because remember, we don't only trade 8 hours a day. And you could take advantage of geopolitical events that are happening outside of these 9 to 4 trading hours, which are into the New York trading session. So the stock market, so if you gauge an opportunity in one of, let's say, in one of the indices, you don't have to wait until the market opens. You could actually put the trade on, and you have much better volume in the futures market at that time, at 10 o'clock at night, let's say, or 11 o'clock at night, than you would have in the queues or the spies. So like I said, there's a huge advantage for traders that have, you know, more funds in their trading account, and for traders that are just getting started, or traders that have blew up their trading accounts and now are forced to open, guess what? Micros. Micros are not a bad thing. When I started teaching the futures course in 2015, I actually recommended that traders start in a simulated account and trade for at least 60 days in a simulated trading account. And because the market was the futures market, and let's face it, the full contract is still very heavy for a beginner trader, and you could not split it in two in terms of stocks. Last year, 375 hedge funds closed their doors because of volatility, and volatility was the number one cause for a lot of accounts that were blown. And now a lot of traders, you know, bound the cash, but they didn't really have sufficient cash, and they don't have much confidence to use the full contract. So you can use the micros. One micro is actually 1/10 of the size. So what that means is that you're going to have 10 micros available for that full size. And believe me, commissions are not that big. So basically now you can split that contract, that full contract, into 2 and 3 or even 4 four scales. So the reason why I love to trade the futures market is that you could take a short position with these. When you're trading, when I was day trading, actually, the stock market, it was a little bit tough because if you were scouring for a short position, and let's say I had it pop up on my scanner and I did all the analysis on it, but instead of looking to see if it's easy to borrow or hard to borrow, right? I would just click out after I've done my analysis. I used to click, let's say I wanted to short it. And then guess what? Big surprise. You can't short it. Okay. So you could take a short on position with these. You don't have to pay attention to that kind of element. So the other thing is that you get reliable volume. You need reliable volume in order to have really good follow through. Now, why do you think I'm not very excited right now into lunchtime to take any kind of trades? Well, the volume fades out. Let me show you, right? The volume fades out here. So once the London session closes, right, at 11:30, the volume just drifts away. And then if there's any opportunity, you're getting it around 2:30, which is the second prime time trigger time for the afternoon trading session. So this would be the time right now because we're closing in at 2:30. Oops, sorry about that. You don't have to use a scanner. So if you're serious about your day trading, you definitely have to use a scanner so it would find trades that meet your strategy, whether breakouts or power trends or climactic trades or gaps or whatever they may be. You need to use a scanner to simplify your trading, and that's an extra distraction. Where if you're just trading the futures indices, I'm going to get back to this chart. I'm only focused on the Dow, the S&P, NASDAQ, and Russell, and that's pretty much what I'm focused on. You don't need any special indicators. I mean, you guys have heard Simon before me, and you have heard John before Simon. And guess what, guys? Do you think that they scoured the internet to find the shiniest indicator just to put on their charts so they can have that perfect entry, that perfect stop, that perfect target? No, it's about price action. It's about learning how to read price action and taking advantage of the areas that you have learned from technical analysis. This is all there is. So there is no special indicators that you need to use. The other thing is tax advantages. Tax advantages are huge. Here in the US, you get a 1099B form at the end of the year. You submit that with your taxes, you're done. If you're trading stocks, guess what? You have a big fat folder that you have to submit to your accountant. Plus, your account is going to charge you because that's very expensive to do at the year end. There's no pump and dump, safe from rumors, no manipulations, no upgrades or downgrades in the futures market. I like to focus, when I day trade, I like to focus from 9:30 to about 11:30. And there are a lot of research that are done that say that the human brain cannot focus more than an hour and a half or 2 hours. It's completely true, because I pretty much know for sure and for a fact that ask myself, I'm looking at the market. If I'm looking, I'm not seeing anything in the market. And when the first 2 hours I start browsing and I'm going on Twitter, I'm trying to see what's going on Twitter. Let's see if there are any tweets, any news, etc. I'm going on Facebook, I check my email, because you can't, the brain needs a commercial break. Or you get up, you go for a walk around the house, and then you come back and sit down. You can't focus for long periods of time. And especially when it comes to ticks and charts and all this environment, all this trading environment. So my sweet spot is from 9:30 to 11:30, 12 o'clock. Obviously, if I'm still in a trade going into 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock, and if the index is stuck and it's not doing anything, I have a hard stop and I trail it right in the afternoon. And then I may even take it into the overnight trading session. I'm not going to exit the trade just because it's 11:30 or it is 12 o'clock. Here's today's example, and this is a trade that I have executed today in the trading room, and we took the breakout. It was a 15-minute breakout or an hourly breakout, depending on how you look at it, because it was a very nice consolidation. And for those of you that don't know, I'm the breakout or breakdown queen. Love this strategy. It's my number one strategy. If there's a base out there, you bet I'm going to be trading it. So $27,995 was our entry right here, and our stop was below this dotted line that you see here. We have the following targets going into 27,980, 20,000, 28,050. We actually trail out at 980. We were getting very close to the London close, and we wanted to wrap up the trade. Conditions were changing, so we trailed it at 980. That's 25 points. Hey, it's not so bad. We just started the week. And in fact, I didn't even, when I came into this week, I wasn't very sure that I was going to take a trade today before I saw that range. And that's because we're going to have a very slow week. There are only two more trading days. And guess what? We have Tuesday, and then on Wednesday, we'll see if we're going to have something. Economic releases are lacking from the calendar. We don't have a lot of earnings that are going out, so the momentum is not going to be there anymore. But guess what? If you're a beginner trader, that's $125 per contract. If you have a small account, if you open an account, if you have a $5,000 account, or even if you have a $500 account, guess what? $125 is a huge deal. If you're trading with a bigger position size for five contracts, that's $625 in a day. It's better than doing anything on this planet, because all you have to do is take advantage of this range. And this is what I do. I pretty much pre-map out my session before the market opens. This was the breakout area. You could see it right here, bullish above, buy zone. So we had it marked before 9:30. We knew our course of action, and we had our first target into the 80. We had a second target into 28,000, and we had a third target right here into the 28,048. But the momentum didn't continue. So hey, you know what? I was happy with 80. And you can see that on the pullback, we have actually found support into the breakout area that promoted another rotation that took the price back up into the 28,000. So it makes trading so much easier. All right, another trade, RTY long. Guess what? Am I an RTY? Of course I am. And like I said, that this is a trade. I lived through a pullback into last week. So I grabbed this trade midweek last week, and I was long at 1600, and I have the following targets: 1620, 1650, and 1700, and even more going into the 1750. Today is up 20 points, right? Because I know that. And if you recall, guys, remember what I said earlier, who is going to be the best performer into Q3? Small January effect is often led by small cap stocks. And these rallies are gonna start forming when? End of November and going into December. So this is why I am in IWM long, and I am into futures Russell long as well. All right, and this is what my portfolio looks like. I told you, I didn't lie when I said that I took you could see that I'm not trading like humongous size. All five contracts, I was getting ready to add some more, but it didn't pull back to that location. And you could see here, this is my P&L for, obviously this is for the day, this is a general P&L that I have. And look at the buying power, $16,000. And I'm already up $5,600. Okay, so look at the day. This is today. This is my trade. So these are the trades that I'm doing every day in the trading room. Not all are winners, okay? I want to show you the M2K. Now, this is a smaller trade. This is a 1530. And I grabbed this just for the example, just for fun, okay? Just for fun. I wanted to see if I grab it early on that 1530, which was right here into this area, was getting over those August highs. So I grabbed it. Take a look. Longer term trade for those of you that have jobs, you can start scaling into these. Look at the buying power, guys. You only need $330 in order to take, you know, one contract of this little M2K, of this micro Russell. And you could see right here, this is the open P&L right now, 463. I mean, this is a really nice bonus if you have a really small trading account. It is fantastic. This is a longer term trade for me, and this is the Dow, and I have been in it. Also, you could see that I don't have gigantic size. I don't have 20 contracts, 50 contracts, 30 contracts, and so on and so forth. We have five, right? And this is my P&L. Look at the buying power. This is what you need. So I need $27,000 just to trade five contracts, and I'm already up over $28,000. It is a daily chart. I'm trading it on a daily chart. It's much advanced trade. And this is today's date, okay? These are snapshots from my trading platform today. This is NASDAQ, also today. So I do take on my own some swings that I carry on, okay? With no pressure of trailing. These are trades that are playing themselves. If they pull back, I'm going to be adding some more. Take a look at the buying power right here, 15,000, already up 830, 8345 was the entry. Okay, here's another trade, the M&E S&P. Two contracts in the M&E S&P, and you can see the average price is 3043. So I grabbed this one a little earlier on the breakout right here. And again, these are daily. These are more of a swing trades. And you can see the buying power. Buying power, you only need 13,000 to trade two contracts. And look at the P&L that is open right here. So right now, we have basically a couple of days, and I'm calling it a week. On Wednesday is going to be my last trading day at noon, or close to noon. It's going to be my last trading day. And for November, I'm already at 45,000 into futures contracts. And this is on a moderate. So you saw that I don't have a huge amount of trades. Now, these are the results from the trading room from 2017 since inception. Like I said, I had high demand to open a trading room, 2017, 2018, 2019. In 2017, we racked up. Now remember, 2017 was not an easy year. You would wake up and you would see the market up about 300 points. And then at the New York trading session, you go like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do now? The market is up 300. Going to sell off? What am I going to do? So it was a very tough year to trade. Day trade, not swing trade. Swing trading was very easy, but day trading was very hard. In 2018, a little better, even though we had volatility. So October was good. November, we had a loss. And then in December, little profit. The profit came from actually erasing the losses. So we were actually in the red for December, but the last week of December, we actually followed through with price moving higher because of window dressing. And 2019 was a very powerful year. So these results are per one contract if you take all the trades in the trading room with one contract. And November is not done yet. We still have some ongoing trades into November. Yes. And the results will be displayed at the end of the month. So are you going to make money every single day? And that's a question that a lot of traders, beginner traders ask me. The answer is no. You're not going to make money every day. There are going to be days when you don't simply take a trade. And I have a lot of days throughout the year where I don't take a trade. And a lot of times, you know, traders, you know, that join my trading room without having prior trading education, when they see that I don't take a trade for one day or 2 days or 3 days, they cancel their subscription. It's an old fact. And then day five comes, and then we hit the jackpot and we have a real really big trade that makes up for, guess what? Not only for the 3 days that we have not traded, but makes up for a whole lot. So a trading is about having big wins, small wins, break-even trades, and small losses. So this is my trading universe. I shared it with you guys. I only watched the four M&E indices, and I watch gold and oil. And I do have on my watch natural gas right now. I'm waiting for a pullback into the 238 to start scaling in long. These are some snapshots for my traders. These are not my results right here, but these are the trades that were called into trading room. And you can see the results from my traders. A lot of my traders that are my students and are into the trading room as well. Trade prop accounts very successfully. I mean, you can see how successful they are. So here are my 15 trading rules. Number one, I don't trade news. I don't trade FOMC, oil inventories, gas inventories, whatever the news is. I stay away. That's number one reason why I trade from 9:30, because I don't want to live through the drama that is happening at 8:30 in the morning when the majority of the news is being released. I don't trade FOMC afternoons. So definitely no news for me. Option expirations. Remember, in December, in the third week of December, on the last Friday, not only that we're going to have option expirations, but it's going to be the quadruple witching option expiration. So expect that week to be extremely difficult for the market and the following Monday to have a huge calibration. So for that entire week, not only for that Friday, I'm going to be risking half of my size. So if I have a position size, let's say of $1,000 per trade, I'm going to be risking and position sizing only for $500. I never jump in trades. You know how many times the market opened and it shot right up higher and it never looked back? And because I didn't have an entry, I never jumped in. I never chase a trade. I never overtrade. So if the opportunity is there, I take the trade. If I see market conditions shift, I don't take the trade, call it a day, go home with my win or my loss and go back at it the next day. When I'm up at least two times my risk in the morning, so let's say I'm risking $1,000 and I'm up, let's say $2,000, I take another trade, but I tend to risk half of what I have, half of my R. An example for today, because I took one trade and it only went to my first target and basically was a 1R trade, that prevented me from taking a second trade, because if I took a second trade, I would have to risk the profit that I made, and I didn't want to lose that profit. So I skipped the trade. I avoid emotional attachment. I ignore all the water cooler chatter when I'm trading. My primary focus is day's growth and capital preservation. And when I'm on a losing streak, I don't grow and I don't go. I don't grow my position size, but I reduce my position size. I never go for revenge trading. In fact, one of the things that beginner traders do in their trading is that if they occur one to two or three losses, they double and triple their size, wanting to recover from their loss, and they are actually doing the worst possible situation for their account because they're doubling up their losses. I increase my trading size only when I have an accumulation of at least 50% in my account. So how do I achieve my results and how do I trade? I stay focused by only watching those six charts. Well, basically four if you're considering the indices, and that's my go. Those are my go-to every single day. I'm applying 100% discipline, applying patience, only take one to three trades a day. I apply my rules. I never go against my rules. And I suggest that if you're newer to trading, make sure that you're very selective, create a list of rules and have it on your table, have it on your desk. Also have a small trading plan. It doesn't have to be a novel. Just write the time when you want to enter the trade, the trading times, the strategy that you're going to apply, etc. Just a very, very small, rule for yourself. So every time when you pop up your computer, you see that sheet of paper, you're reading it, and don't have it on a computer as in posted or noted or whatever. No, have it in front of you, a paper, right? And read it before you pop up your platform. And I am applying my trading plan to the T. I'm planning out, mapping out my trades and decisions before the market opens. So keep in mind, trading is not a game. It's really hard work, and you need to have a really solid structure and approach in order to succeed at this. So how do I start my trading day when I'm tackling the New York trading session open? First off, I check out the economic releases. I check the earnings. I analyze overnight price action. And then it's pure planning on the chart. So economic events are very important because economics, depending on the how the market interprets the economic numbers, the market is going to react. It's either going to move up or it's going to move down or it's going to remain flat. So based on that, you will see if there are any structural changes to your platform, to your chart. Earnings are very important. Why? Because if I have earnings in Amazon, if earnings are good, what do you think my go-to index is going to be to trade? Well, it's going to be NASDAQ. If I have financials, for instance, at the beginning of the quarter, so let's say in January when we're beginning a new quarter, my go-to is going to be the mini S&P because financials are going to be full center attention because they're going to start releasing earnings, right? You have JP Morgan, you have Bank of America, you have Goldman Sachs. These are the first banks that are releasing earnings. And they're in strict correlation within with the index. Analyzing overnight price action is the most important thing that you can do for your trading. First off, you have to zoom out. So when you're zooming out, you have to make sure that you either look on the 15 minute or the 4 hour or the 1 hour and look at the technical image, determine your levels, see if there are any ranges that are developing. I love trading ranges. Like I said, I'm the breakout queen. You look to see what direction is in place in that structure. If you have a series of higher highs, higher lows, then what the heck are you doing shorting? Okay. So wait for the pullback. I find that if you are really aggressive, and I'm pretty sure that a lot of traders go long, short, long, short, long, short all the time. You know, that's a way. There are different ways to make money in the market. For me, what works is to wait for the pullback in a very strong market environment and get in with a higher time frame on that reversal. And of course, I'm mapping out my entries, of course, associated with the risk, targets, and all that fun stuff. So this is the pre-planning that happened today. This was determined at 9 o'clock before I actually started my trading session at 9:30. So I had everything mapped out. So all I have to do is look, basically when I wrap up the pre-market game plan around 9:20 or so, all I have to do is sit back and wait for the market to open. The reason why I don't get in before the market opens, even if I don't have any kind of releases, especially in a day like today, is because you're still going to get that big institutional influx into the market, that injection into the market that is going to create that fleecing effect. That I don't want to get killed by that fleecing effect because oftentimes the price goes up, down, it's developing its true open range. So I don't want to take any part of that. I don't want to establish the true range with my own money. I want other money to establish the true range and I want to get in confirmation. So this is what I have established today and you can see it right here. It says bullish above buy zone. This is our buy zone exactly on the dot. This is where we got in. We have target one, target two, target three. And by the way, every single time when the price shifts into target one, your entry point becomes a support zone. And on any reversal, that is a pullback buy area all the way into the final target. Weekly up, stay long. This is going to be the full throttle bullish, ultimate bullish territory right here. And if we get here, everything is going to start rallying into December. Here's some important things that you should know about market timing and how it works. At 9:30, the market opens, stock market opens, the futures market opens officially, the New York session. Between 9:32 and 9:35 is the opening, the calibration, the balancing. I call it the fleecing effect. That is that true range. And oftentimes it lasts for 5 minutes sometimes, but sometimes it lasts for about 15 minutes or sometimes even 30 minutes. At 10 o'clock, if you're getting a big market impulse from 9:30 all the way into 10 o'clock, at 10 o'clock, you should be more cautious because guess what? At 10 o'clock, you can expect some kind of pullback. So at 10 o'clock, there's that gyration that is happening. So you have to make sure that you are tightening your stops. Don't marry trades that you initiate between 9:35 and 9:45. Make sure that at 10 o'clock, you're hands-on because here's the thing. If you are trailing out of the trade, you're going to pretty much have another entry opportunity as you're going into 10:30. 10:30 is the best trigger time in the market. 11 o'clock to 11:30, the European markets close. And from 11:30 to about 1:30 to 2 o'clock, you have the doldrum period. So now that we know the structure of the day, it's time to look at the structure of the charts, right? So you know what happens in the market, and that's the frame in which the price sends its tempo, right? Now it's time to go through your charts. What are you going to do? You're going to do your top-down analysis. What do you mean by top-down analysis? analysis, you're going to go higher time frame to smaller time frame. You're always going to go left to right. You're going to go right to left, not left to right. You're going to go right to left like an Arabic. You're going to start reading Arabic when it comes to charts, right? You're going time frame, bigger time frames, because bigger time frames are dictating what smaller time frames are going to be doing. And you're going to say like, oh, why should I look at the daily chart or the weekly chart when I'm just trading a tick chart? Because the tick chart is going to take orders from the daily chart, from the hourly chart, from the weekly chart. That's when you're getting your follow through from. So don't ignore those. Then decide your directional bias. Two higher highs, two higher lows on a higher time frame, or the trend is intact. You have no reason to be short. Then you decide your key levels, just like I showed you. Decide your breakout areas, your support areas, where you are going to place yours. So you map out everything on your chart. And then when the market opens, all you have to do is sit back and relax. And remember, trading should be boring. If trading is exciting, it means that you're doing something wrong. So planning what index to trade by relative strength and relative weakness, right? You have to look at the technical chart and see, hey, what's stronger today? Remember, you have the Asian session and the London session to set that for you. So you're getting clear messages in terms of synchronicity or divergency, relative strength or relative weakness. Also, if you have some earnings, right? If we would have like, I don't know, if we would have like Amazon earnings after the close, remember, depending on how those earning results are coming out, you could play long or short indices, and in particular NASDAQ. And of course, you look at the chart pattern, and then you zoom in on your technical image on your smaller time frame, whether that is the 2 minute. I like to look at the 2 minute, and in fact today the trade that I took was a 2 minute based trade, even though the analysis was done on the daily, but the trade was a 2 minute trade. Okay, this is where my entry was. This is the bullish above zone. You see my notations here. I don't have to do any planning, and I don't have to say, it's like, oh my god, what do I see here? Is I wonder if there's an entry here or if there's a setup. You could see here that if you're looking at this area, you don't really see a setup. But this trade was well calculated on a much higher time frame. And of course, you need to look for tradable voids to set your targets into. So planning what index to trade, like I said, this is my bread and butter, the Dow, the S&P, NASDAQ, and Russell. This is all I trade. Moving averages that I use. You could see that on the charts. And basically, this is from today's trading session. You could see it right here. You could see the notations. I took the snapshot just before I came into this presentation. I just use simple moving averages, the 20, the 50, and the 200. And I use an exponential moving average for my day trades and also for my active swings onto the 10 exponential. So that's the 10 exponential moving average. And price action, of course, volume, because I want to see the market participation, right? And you can see here that we had huge volume, right? We had huge volume going into the open. And then we have decreased volume, right? And look at the volume right now. There's barely anybody trading. So why would I initiate a trade now? I would be losing my money, right? Because there's nobody trading right now. So no one has a crystal ball, guys. And what seems certain one moment can change in the next. And our job is to find low risk setups and manage our risk. This is all about trading. We wrapped up the November edition of our Power Income Futures trading course. We're getting geared up to offer the last class of this year, which is going to be in December. In this class, we will teach you the most powerful day trading chart patterns and how to exploit them for above average gains, and looking at the charts with a clear eye, with a clear mind, and not having anything aggressive. By the way, did you guys know that every time when I initiate trade, I initiate the trade with a limit order, because I know exactly where my stop is. And when I'm trading and when I'm day trading, I'm not scaling in or out. I know where my entry area is. I either go in or out. I'm either committed or not committed. You know, it's just like going on a diet. You're either committed or not committed. So you're not going to say, okay, I'm going to start the diet today, but tonight I'm going to have a little bit of ice cream. And then I know I'm going to fall off the wagon, but I'm going to pick it up tomorrow. No, in day trading, you either know or don't know. In swing trading, yes, you can scale. the six major disciplines of veterinary trade. I'm going to teach you how to precisely calculate. It's going to be a no-brainer, how to calculate the entry, the stop, the target, the trade management, position sizing, and trailing. Also going to teach you market tempo and how to maximize your timing using key moving averages and other powerful indicators that are available on your platform for free. And you're going to be using them just like hedge funds are doing, just like any other institutional trader is doing. Because don't think that institutional traders are going on the internet trying to find, a money show or something, trying to find when somebody's, you know, talking something about some indicator and say, oh man, I'm going to really buy into these indicators. So we're going to teach you a lot. Send us an email at info@tradeoutloud.com if you want a full class curriculum for this. We provide you with the on-demand recordings for the course. The courses are always live. I teach the course. You have a question, you ask it then. It's a full 5-day. So you're going to receive the on-demand recording, the manual, the platform layout, workstation initiation, risk chart, unlimited live retakes, and more. Shoot me an email. I'll send you some reviews as well. The class is scheduled for December 16. It's the last class of the year. And we have a Black Friday special. If you sign up by Friday at noon, you're going to receive 3 extra months in the trading room. That's $900 in value. It's $299 to have access to our trading room. That's a really small price to pay for what you're getting in the trading room. And if you have any other questions, shoot us an email at tradeoutloud.com. We're going to send you more information about the course, how you can register for the course, no pressure, and also class curriculum. This is a wrap. Thanks so much, guys. Our next presenter is